Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Hollywood mourns the loss of a versatile, funny man. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Tuesday, August 12, glad you're on board. Here's what's up this hour.
Actor and comedian Robin Williams has been found dead at his home in Northern California. Authorities believe it was a suicide. You'll hear some movie clips and his famous quotes.
Despite 4 days of U.S. airstrikes, fighters with the terrorist group Islamic State are preparing to take the Kurdish capital of Erbil.
A second night of unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, where an unarmed teenager was shot and killed by police. Meanwhile, the FBI has stepped in.
A new technology to help you lose weight, including one device that tracks the number of bites of food you take each day.
Researchers at Clemson, they've studied this a little bit, and they think that a 100-bite diet may be a good low-calorie diet for both men and women. And that's based on another study that found that the average woman takes bites that are 11 calories, and the average man takes bites that are 17 calories.
Let's talk about bites versus the number of chews. Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy on the optimal number of bites of food you might take to lose weight and the devices that can help. She's here in about 20 minutes. Comedian and actor Robin Williams has been found dead in his Northern California home.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ.
He died from an apparent suicide, although an investigation is underway. Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel says Mr. Williams, who was 63, is remembered for his zany comic persona, as well as more subtle dramatic performances. He joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Eric, how do you remember him?
Mr. Williams has been around for so long. I think he's developed such a career that's really been a pretty rare mix, right? He stars in some big movies like Mrs. Doubtfire, The Birdcage, where he's front and center, but then he's also become very well known for quieter turns, right, in movies like Dead Poets Society, Awakenings, or Good Will Hunting, for which he won the Oscar in 1998. You know, his career has not been as strong as of late. He was on a television show that was recently canceled. He's appearing in a supporting role in the upcoming Night at the Museum, but it's still very surprising. I mean, I think he's still considered one of Hollywood's biggest stars and most well-known faces and personas.
You know, I'm not much of a movie guy, but I feel like he was a guy I probably saw almost more than anybody else, just because I guess the time those movies were coming out, you know, before I was married with kids. But what happens to, say, films in post-production? Because there's like three of them, right?
Looks like, you know, I think that a lot of the work has been done, and I think that, you know, he's playing Teddy Roosevelt in Night at the Museum, which is coming out in December, and his work on that film is done. So that's sort of in the can and in good shape. But you're right. I mean, he was always very as much well-known for the sort of off-camera antics as he was for pulling focus on screen. He was always a fixture at award shows, right, and known to sort of, you know, whenever he went up to the microphone, you didn't know what exactly was going to happen next.
It's funny. I was looking at some of the tweets from celebrities that the Journal had posted, right? And just notice the range, like the Sesame Street Twitter account, you know, said thanks for the memories. Then he got the likes of Steve Martin or Sarah Michelle Gellar, like just this whole range of people and places he touched.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, whenever you have the ranging from Neil Patrick Harris to John Travolta to President Obama, I mean, it sort of shows the wide swath that he cut.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel about the death of actor and comedian Robin Williams. What about his addiction battles? How much do we know about that?
Well, we know that he talked about them rather publicly, right? I mean, he was often pretty forthright in his battle with alcoholism and drug problems, and the sheriff's office in Northern California is saying that this appears to have been a suicide by asphyxiation. And a representative for Mr. Williams said that he had been battling depression as of late. So it sounds like, for as zany and as high energy as his public persona could be, it sounds like he was really struggling with some personal demons throughout his career and more recently as well.
The stand-up, I guess, sort of paved the way for him. Man, I just happened to rewatch the golf routine he did. I mean, just cry your eyes out funny.
It's amazing, right? And it's another thing is that he seems to have arrived fully formed. You know, when you go back and you watch early episodes of Mork and Mindy, right? It seems like when he burst onto the scene, he had this style, he had this voice that was so unique and so fleshed out, and it didn't really waver. I mean, you can trace it through movies like Aladdin up to more recent, you know, things like his television show The Crazy Ones on television, right?
Right.
So I think you're right in that looking at those early stand-up tapes really do show sort of how early on he had such a unique voice that was really, you know, inevitably going to stand out.
Thanks, Eric. Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel in New York. He writes, in 1986, Mr. Williams worked with fellow comedians Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal to start Comic Relief. Remember that? The charity that raises money for the homeless. Together, they hosted an annual comedy fundraiser for more than a decade. They reunited in 2006 to raise money for people displaced by Hurricane Katrina. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Every person who comes to the ranch is in need of some form of physical or mental help. They're patients. But also every person who comes to the ranch is in charge of taking care of someone else, whether it's cooking for them, cleaning them, or even a simple task as listening. That makes them doctors.
If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.
Being in global sales, I never know where my job will take me. The last thing I need to worry about while traveling is outrageous data charges. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan. I get unlimited text and data in over 100 countries at no extra charge. No multiple SIM cards or international data plans. I just land, turn on my phone, and it works. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only. Subject to change. Capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. See T-Mobile.com for details and included destinations.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. The intensity of politics in Iraq has been ramped up a notch, if it's even possible. Iraq's president appointed a candidate to replace Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. But Mr. Maliki, seeking a third four-year term, has refused to step aside. This sets up a confrontation as the government struggles to fight back against a rapidly advancing Sunni insurgency. President Fuad Masum designated Haider al-Abadi, a member of Mr. Maliki's Shiite Islamist Dawah Party, to form the next government. Mr. Maliki angrily rejected the nomination in two televised appearances yesterday. Meanwhile, President Obama had called to congratulate Mr. al-Abadi.
Today, President Masum named a new prime minister designate, Dr. Haider al-Abadi. Under the Iraqi constitution, this is an important step towards forming a new government that can unite Iraq's different communities.
Mr. Abadi, if he is able to form a government, will have to prove that he's more capable of guiding Iraq out of a security crisis that led to the first U.S. military intervention in Iraq since American troops withdrew nearly 3 years ago at the end of a decade-long war. The U.S. accuses Mr. Maliki of stirring up divisions among Iraq's Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish populations, raising sectarian tensions. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses, plus a free vase for $19.99. It's the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to two dozen, plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers is quick, easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. The FBI is now looking into the shooting death of an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. Meanwhile, more unrest broke out late yesterday following looting and widespread property damage on Sunday night. The FBI will conduct its own investigation in addition to one already underway by St. Louis County into a shooting by a Ferguson police officer that left 18-year-old Michael Brown dead. Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson.
Since I've been here, that has not been my philosophy. It is always treat every single person you encounter the way you would want your mother to be treated under the identical circumstances, and then you'll never have any problems.
Meanwhile, Wall Street Journal reporter Mark Peters is in Ferguson with the latest. Mark, what do we have here?
The FBI has announced that it's opening a civil rights investigation, and it'll run concurrent or parallel to the local investigation by the St. Louis County Police. So the FBI has decided to look at this as well.
So what's it been like in Ferguson over the last 24 hours, Mark?
Protests continue. This has definitely been a lot of upheaval after this incident, and protests continue. Police and county officials were asking for calm. They were saying, we understand the frustration about what had happened. We understand the frustration with the lack of information, but they called on people to allow the investigation to play out. They said it will be a complex investigation with a lot of moving parts, and it's going to take time, they said, to get to the bottom of things. But there's a lot of frustration in the public about what happened, and they're pushing for answers and want people held accountable if they need to be held accountable.
Do we know what the investigations will entail?
There hasn't been a ton of details about exactly what they're looking into. We know that the Ferguson police have handed over the investigation to St. Louis County. St. Louis County will look into it and forward their results to the local prosecutor. At the same time, the FBI will look into the incident and come to some kind of conclusion on whether Mr. Brown's civil rights were violated.
Thanks, Mark. Wall Street Journal reporter Mark Peterson, Mark Peters, from Ferguson, Missouri. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning, Hollywood and fans. Mourning the loss of Robin Williams, dead of a suspected suicide at the age of 63. Williams made his mark in many areas of the entertainment business as a stand-up comic, TV sitcom performer, and Oscar-winning film actor in Good Will Hunting.
I mean, the guys who work their entire life laying bricks so their kids have a chance at the opportunities you have here.
I didn't ask for this.
No, you were born with it, so don't cop out behind. I didn't ask for this.
A representative for Williams said that he'd battled severe depression. Today we get an update on small business owner optimism and also job opening numbers overall. Stock futures this morning trending higher after a positive close yesterday. The Dow was up 16 points. The Nasdaq added 30. The S&P 500 gained 5. Investors seemed less worried about global events. Today, Asian markets closed mixed. Secretary of State John Kerry says the U.S. will consider more assistance to Iraq once a new inclusive government is formed under new Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. President Barack Obama said Iraq had taken a promising step forward. The U.S. has supported the end of rule for long-serving Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, blaming him for fueling sectarian violence. More rioting in Ferguson, Missouri, with police firing tear gas, despite calls for calm from the mother of black teen Michael Brown, shot to death by a police officer. Here is Ferguson Mayor James Knowles.
It was a tragedy regardless of what the facts play out, and we hope that this will be resolved as far as the investigation.
The 18-year-old Brown was shot after what police said was a struggle with a gun in a police car. The FBI has launched a probe. The FDA has approved a DNA test to screen for colon cancer in those of you with a lower risk of developing the disease. Cologuard is the first test of its kind to be okayed by regulators here. You'll need a doctor's prescription. While celebrities are taking to Twitter to express sadness over the death of Robin Williams, the White House tweeted that he made us laugh, he made us cry, touched every element of the human spirit. Simon Cowell tweeted, I can't believe the news. And Bill Cosby said on Twitter, I'm stunned.
I'm impressed by the range of tweets. One of the first ones I saw last night was from the Sesame Street Twitter page, you know, sort of thanking him for those appearances that he made. And then, as you mentioned, you know, all the way to the White House and Seems like everybody in between.
And speaking of range, Gordon, man, what a wide range of talent he had. I mean, he could play any kind of character, and the energy.
I'd love to know the amount of times he was allowed to improvise, you know, and they let that stand in a movie or a TV show or something. He's so witty. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Here's another strategy to consider as you count the different options for losing weight. You've heard about counting steps, counting calories, counting meals. Now, researchers are developing tools that count how much or how fast we eat. One suggestion is to limit yourself to 100 bites of food per day. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy. Sumathi, tell us about the research.
It's really interesting. There's two things. There's devices that are being created both to measure our eating rates to help us slow down, as well as there's another device that's actually measuring the number of bites you take in a day with the idea that it's not what you eat, but how you eat it and sort of how you're chewing and how long you're taking to eat.
Wow. All right. So the optimal number is 100 bites a day, and that's total? That's all meals?
I know. It sounds weird, but yeah. So there's these researchers at Clemson. They've studied this a little bit, and they think that a 100-bite diet may be a good low-calorie diet for both men and women. They have not, they're in the middle of doing a government-funded study, so they can't say for sure whether a 100-bite diet will work, but that's their assumption. And that's based on another study that found that the average woman takes bites that are 11 calories, and the average man takes bites that are 17 calories.
All right, so, quality of food matters here, right? We're not talking about taking 100 bites of chocolate chip cookies and calling it a day, for example.
That's a big question, and one sort of independent obesity expert that I talked to said, okay, yeah, this bite thing. He was a little skeptical because he said, you know, well, what if you're just eating pizza all day? That's not going to necessarily work. But these researchers say that, you know, the average person, like our diets are relatively stable. Like, yes, we have, you know, when we go on vacation, we might eat a little bit differently. But on a day-to-day basis over the long term, we're eating pretty similar foods, which is kind of true. Like when I look at myself, you know, I do eat similar things for lunch, dinner and breakfast. So if you monitor your number of bites, they're saying, you know, this could be a good way to both manage and lose weight.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy in New York about chewing your way to better health. There's some new studies, or at least one new study, that talks about 100 bites a day. Does that not encourage you, for example, to take one giant bite, try to swallow it down to bend the rules a little bit?
Yeah, bite size does matter. And actually, there's another researcher at the University of Alabama who says it's not the bites, it's the chews. Because obviously, each bite, depending on how big it is, you know, is going to be a different number of chews. So he has another tool, which is very interesting, which measures number of chews. And right now, it's not in a very consumer-friendly version, but he's hoping that, you know, in a few years, perhaps he can make it more consumer-friendly and get it out to market.
Who knew, right? Bites versus chews. Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, what investigators want to know about the race car of driver Tony Stewart. Our desire to learn doesn't stop after college. That's the motivation behind The Great Courses. These are engaging video and audio lectures from top professors and experts in their fields. The Great Courses offers over 500 topics, including literature, history, art and music, science and philosophy. They also have courses on better living, like Practicing Mindfulness, an instruction to meditation. In this fascinating course, award-winning professor Mark Musi teaches the key principles and techniques of meditation through guided exercise to help improve your overall well-being. The Great Courses has been in production for over 20 years. You can watch or listen to The Great Courses with online downloads and streaming via their apps or on DVDs or CDs at your convenience without the pressure of exams. The Great Courses has a special offer for Wall Street Journal listeners. Order Practicing Mindfulness and get 80% off the original price. But this 80% savings is only available for a limited time. Don't wait. Go to thegreatcourses.com/WSJ. That's thegreatcourses.com/WSJ.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, August 12th. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, day four of U.S. airstrikes against terrorists in northern Iraq. Violence again last evening in Ferguson, Missouri. And the famous quotes of actor and comedian Robin Williams, who we're remembering this morning. He did have a serious side. He once said, "She is not perfect. You are not perfect. The question is whether or not you are perfect for each other." More of those quotes in about 20 minutes. Authorities in upstate New York say they're looking into the speed of NASCAR champion Tony Stewart's vehicle when it hit and killed a fellow competitor at a dirt track race last weekend. Ontario County Sheriff Philip Pavero said investigators were relying on witness accounts and other techniques to see how fast Mr. Stewart was traveling.
There are no facts that exist that support any criminal behavior or conduct, or that any probable cause of a criminal act in this investigation.
20-year-old Kevin Ward Jr., who was struck after he exited his vehicle and was walking across the track, was seemingly going to confront Mr. Stewart, who he had just made contact with. But Wall Street Journal reporter A.J. Baim says in a sport where crashes are routine and occasionally fatal, there are a number of factors that set this accident apart. A.J., what's the latest?
Authorities are continuing to look into whether there will be any criminal charges filed. This is it's unprecedented, really, what's happening here. So everybody's trying to figure out what to do. We have been in touch with authorities up there in Ontario County, and it's basically all they've said, they've told us this far, is it is an ongoing investigation.
What are some of the things they're looking into?
Well, they're looking into all kinds of things. The level of lighting, the speed that Tony Stewart was traveling when Kevin Ward was struck by his car. They're going to look at this from all angles and try to decide whether charges will be filed. I really anticipate that this investigation is going to take quite a long time.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter A.J. Baim. What about this makes it so unprecedented?
Well, you have to imagine, this is a superstar racing driver racing in a small event, but he was caught on a fan's tape hitting another driver who had climbed out of his car, and the video went viral. So this is basically sort of an unprecedented situation to see a driver of this amount of fame and this kind of accident, and then have it get caught on a fan's film and have it go viral, in which millions and millions of people are watching it instantly.
Why was he in a race like this?
Well, Tony Stewart has always championed grassroots racing. He owns a dirt track himself and came up on dirt tracks. And he's a NASCAR superstar, but he's always been involved in dirt track racing, both as a competitor and, an advocate. So he was out there at a small race, on a NASCAR race weekend. And, this tragedy occurred.
Does his hothead persona hurt him here?
And that's one of the problems with this specific incident. Tony Stewart is known as the resident hothead in NASCAR. So, people are going to say when they look at this footage, well, he ran this Kevin Ward person over on purpose, which is probably not the case. But he has a reputation for starting fights with other drivers. And what happened here was there was what we call a shunt, in racing. There was a crash in which Tony Stewart and Ward were involved. Ward's car hit the wall, and Ward got out of his car and was standing in the middle of the track, pointing a finger at Stewart as he drove by, and Stewart's car struck Ward. So because of Stewart's reputation as a hothead, people are going to make judgments.
All right, so what at this point might NASCAR do?
I don't think NASCAR is going to do anything. This was not an event at a NASCAR track. It was not a NASCAR-affiliated event in any way. So NASCAR is going to steer as clear of this as possible. The question is what Tony Stewart will do in the future. He's a NASCAR superstar, three-time Sprint Cup champion, and, along with Jimmy Johnson, probably the most famous NASCAR racer, competing today. So what Tony Stewart is going to do and the future is very much up in nobody knows at this point. I don't think Tony Stewart knows.
Thanks, AJ. Wall Street Journal reporter AJ Baim in upstate New York. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome aboard. This portion of the program is brought to you by Experian. When it comes to getting the things you want in life, your credit score can make the difference. But when it comes to understanding your credit, not all websites are equal. With Experian Credit Tracker, you get a real credit report and real people standing by to answer your questions, including a dedicated fraud resolution agent if you fall victim to ID theft. Go to Experian.com now for your credit report and score, and live credit confident from now on with enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker. The Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin is here now with a look at some of the stories we are following.
Well, the world is remembering Robin Williams this morning as a once-in-a-generation talent who touched the lives of seemingly everyone he met. If you're not in the mood to get a little bit sad, this is not a good day to be on social media, Facebook especially, as most everyone's feed has been flooded with pictures and quotes from the actor and comedian who died tragically at his home yesterday. Gordon, one of the things that struck me was that a lot of people now, because Mr. Williams, he suffered with alcoholism, of course, and drug abuse and depression over the years. And one of the things that struck me was people are saying, you know, look, people that I know who I guess who are coming out and saying they have depression and are saying, you know, saying, look, you know, I have this, you know, this not, don't be ashamed to admit this. Don't be ashamed to go out and get help. So this is one of the times when a tragedy like this can actually be used for some good, perhaps, maybe raise awareness about this.
Right. Right. All right. So I guess alcohol and drugs could raise awareness on that front as well.
Oh, yes.
I know that stuff has always been around, but the depression thing is, that's kind of, say, fairly new in terms of people out
right.
of that. We've seen that with the military campaigns as well, right?
Right,
these
right.
guys struggle
exactly.
with PTSD.
Something over the past few years especially that people are trying to get out there and say, look, don't be ashamed about this, and don't be ashamed to go get help. Meanwhile, Gordon, unrest continues in Ferguson, Missouri, as anger continues to erupt over the killing of teenager Michael Brown by police there over the weekend. Police fired tear gas and reported being shot by the crowd as well. And we continue to keep an eye on what's happening overseas as Iraq has been thrown into political turmoil as U.S. airstrikes continue in the northern region of that country. Gina will have more on all of today's top stories with America's First News coming up. And after some very heavy stuff this morning, Gordon, why don't we try and lighten up just a little bit here? It is time to get down to the very important business of determining whose fans, whose football fans drink the most. The NFL season just a few weeks away. One author named Sean McDonald has spent a significant amount of time researching this, and he has determined that the Buffalo Bills have the league's drunkest fans. In his book, Ultimate Football Road Trip, McDonald writes about spending the 2013 football season on the road. He visited every stadium in the NFL, rating each for its facilities and general ballpark ambiance. One of his takeaways, some Bills fans get a little bit too drunk and become potentially dangerous.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what do you think as far as your New York Jets fans are concerned? What do you think they might rate? Now, you haven't been to every single stadium.
Right.
But, you know, they've been known to throw back a few
they
occasionally.
Are. They certainly have that reputation.
Get themselves in a little bit of trouble.
They've got to be a top three, no?
Yeah, I would think they're up there. I haven't seen the full list, but I would think they're up there. But it seems like almost in almost every stadium you can find a few troublemakers here and there.
Here's the thing. What if the Bills were good?
Well, I think that might be part of the problem, though, is that they're not good.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, is that they haven't been good for a long time, and I think their fans start to drink more as the games get out of hand, and they start to then take out their frustrations on each other, I guess, is what happens.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. So that would be an interesting comparison to sort of break down the good teams and their fan behavior versus the bad teams and their behavior.
Not bad. Well, I've heard some people say that the Bills could be on the upswing this year. Of course, they've been saying that for about a decade now.
Right.
But I'm hearing some people say that the Bills could make a run this year. So maybe we'll get to test out the theory in up there in Orchard Park.
There's nothing to support that statement whatsoever that they would be good this year. Nothing. There's no what history. Nothing. There's nothing there.
I'm just going by what the experts.
Yeah.
I am not an expert.
Yeah, you air quoted that experts. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. As you probably know, there are two barriers that stand in the way of growing your wealth. The first barrier is that it's hard to keep track of your money. Stocks, 401k, bank accounts, all on different sites with different usernames and passwords. Second, you pay someone to manage it all, and you're probably paying too much. Well, now there is a free and secure tool called Personal Capital. Personal Capital brings all your accounts and assets onto one single screen on your computer, phone, or tablet with a real-time and trending look at your wealth. With Personal Capital, you can also see how much you're overpaying in fees and how to reduce those fees. You'll also get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. Signing up takes just a minute, and it'll pay big dividends. Wall Street Journal radio listeners can set up your free account today at personalcapital.com/WSJ. Go to personalcapital.com/WSJ for your free account.
Excrement. That's what I think of Mr. J. Evans Pritchard. We're not laying pipe. We're talking about poetry. How can you describe poetry like American Bandstand? Well, I like Byron. I give him a 42, but I can't dance to it.
Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Grainger. Get what you need when you need it. Call, click, or stop by today. Get it? Got it? Good. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. A different approach to finding new customers. More from the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
A business owner sent me a book published a few years ago titled Blue Ocean Strategy that says to really grow, you need to find three groups of non-customers. Those at the edge of your market, those who want nothing to do with your industry, and those who've never even thought about your industry. Pret-a-Manger went after the edge of the market by selling to those who brought their own lunch or skipped lunch because they didn't want fast food and they also didn't want to wait. Deco Advertising sold to non-customers who said that highway billboards don't make a lasting impression by inventing advertising at bus stops years ago. The example of selling to those who never thought about an industry because they assumed it was only for the rich is the tooth whitening industry. Blue Ocean Strategy says with supply of products and services exceeding demand in some industries now, trying to win away competitors' customers just won't cut it in the long run. You have to find or invent new customers. Look away to growth opportunities. An example they cite is Cirque du Soleil. They appeal to a whole new group of customers who were prepared to pay a premium, too, and their first production was titled We Reinvent the Circus. Blue Ocean Strategy says to beat the competition, stop trying to beat the competition. I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks, Joe. It is 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
Good morning. The maker of the experimental Ebola drug given to two infected Americans says that its supply has been exhausted after providing doses to a West African nation. San Diego-based MAP Biopharma said that it provided the drug ZMAP at no cost. A second night of rioting despite calls for an end to violence by the mother of 18-year-old Michael Brown, shot to death by a police officer in suburban St. Louis. Brown's family has hired attorney Benjamin Crump, who represented the family of Trayvon Martin.
The witnesses have come forward and said it did not happen as the police said it happened, and that you only got their version of what happened, not the witnesses' version.
The 18-year-old Brown was shot after what police said was a struggle with a gun in a police car. The FBI has launched a probe. Israeli and Palestinian negotiators have resumed Egyptian-mediated talks on a longer-term agreement to end the conflict in Gaza as a relative calm settled in during a three-day truce. Palestinians say they want an end to the economic blockade. Israel says it won't ease the blockade until Hamas and other armed factions disarm and hand over their rockets. Stock futures this morning are trending higher after a higher close for Wall Street. The Dow up 16 points, closing at 16,570. The NASDAQ added 30, and the S&P 500 gained 5 points.
Global tensions in Ukraine, Israel, as well as somewhat in Iraq, have at least decelerated, and therefore it's emboldened risk-taking.
Chad Morganlander is with Stifel. Late night host Conan O'Brien broke the news of comedian Robin Williams' death during the taping of his TBS show.
This is unusual and upsetting, but we got some news. We got some news during the show that that Robin Williams has passed away.
Gasps could be heard from the audience. Well, there are so many yoga pants out there that guess what? Sales of jeans are going down. In fact, they're plunging as the athleisure craze takes over. Women wearing comfy yoga attire. The chief analyst for NPD Group tells NBC News, denim sales down 6% last year.
Yoga pants are just more comfortable, I guess, aren't
I
they?
Guess they are.
I like the way they look.
You can't, but you can't really wear yoga pants out to a restaurant,
no.
Can you? You
no.
Can still wear a nice pair of jeans,
yes,
with a nice blouse or something, but I've noticed that as well at the gym. People wear less of the old-fashioned sweatpants,
yes,
and more of the yoga pants.
Right. I noticed that too, but probably for different reasons than you, Gina. 6 minutes
really?
In front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
All these beer commercials usually show big men, manly men doing manly things.
You've just killed a small animal. It's time for a light beer.
The website EliteDaily.com has put together what it calls the most profound and beautiful quotes from Robin Williams. On being alone, he said, quote, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people that make you feel alone. He also suggested it's okay to be crazy. He said, you're only given a little spark of madness. You mustn't lose it. Or on how you can appreciate the good until you've felt the bad. He said, you will have bad times, but they will always wake you up to the stuff you were not paying attention to. On the legalization of marijuana, he joked, do you think God gets stoned? I think so. Look at the platypus. And this gem on divorce, which he says comes from the Latin word meaning to rip out a man's genitals. That'll do it for this hour. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning. Technology makes a lot of things easier, like using the post office. With Stamps.com, you can do everything you do at the post office right from your computer. Best of all, it's super easy. You don't need to be a tech expert. With Stamps.com, all you need is your computer and printer to buy official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com provides all the expertise. They'll send a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. And Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Then all you do is print the postage and hand it to the mailman, and you're done. Plus, Stamps.com makes it easy to print postage from popular business software like QuickBooks, Outlook, and more. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes the digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ.